The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Welcome to 7-Eleven Day. Yes, July 11th, 2024, 11 minutes after 6. Join the conversation on Conspiracy Theory Thursday at 770-5633, 770-KMED. And by the way, my email, bill@billmeyershow.com. I have some great emails of the day. We'll have to share some of those a little bit later on. We're going to be talking a lot about fire and fire policy today, because that still tends to be dominating a lot of our local news. Of course, the drama in Washington, D.C. continues. Apparently, Joe Tato, our president, will... I guess that's kind of like, Joe Mensch, people had to think about that too much. You say Joe Tato Biden, and then, people pretty much figure that out pretty quickly. Joe Tato is going to have a press conference, a no-holds-bar press conference coming up this afternoon. 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock our time is when this is supposed to happen. As the, some of the Democrats are circling the wagons, other ones like George Clooney are out there saying, Joe, would love you, but you got to step aside. I know that I always take all my political advice from very wealthy, highly paid movie stars and actors that carry the globalist agenda. And I'm sure the rest of Washington, D.C. does, too. But once again, like I mentioned yesterday, if you're serious about getting rid of Joe Tato, 25th Amendment and the Hur Report is plenty. And then I'm sure that someone could talk to some intelligence agencies and say, okay, you know what's really going on with the president's family. You've surveilled everything else, and you faked up all sorts of stuff against Trump. Come on, get to work on Joe Tato. If they were really serious, if they were really serious about it. But I don't know how serious of a country we are at this point. It always kind of reminds me of late-stage Roman Empire. It's like the Roman Empire took a couple hundred years or more to collapse, if I understand. The United States empire, global empire, may go down quicker from the looks of it. It doesn't even seem to want to defend itself at this point, but I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong about that. They talk about bad men means hard times, right? Anyway, 13 minutes after 6, let's talk a little bit about what we have happening here with the fire, with good men and women out there fighting it right now. Salt Creek, about 3,800 acres, grew a little bit, but 16% contained. The big problem, of course, is over at the Shelley Fire. The Shelley Fire is in northern Siskiyou County, 8,300 acres. They had a firefighter hurt on that yesterday, too. 8,300 acres, 0% contained. That's the real bad one, real bad one. We'll be talking more about fire policy here in just a little bit. Our community researcher, friend of the show, Mr. X, will be joining me, because remember, he spends hours of his, he has no life because he spends hours digging into government documents and gangrene proposals and what the collaboratives are up to. And he has an interesting theory for Conspiracy Theory Thursday, that some of the fires that we are seeing here, that, all the places that are burning right now, magically have burn plans on them from the federal government. And some of these, there were requests made of county government to do prescribed burns on them in summertime, when you're not allowed to do it, according to the Jackson County Board. Remember, they did that ordinance a few years ago. And then magically, fires start in areas where they were, where they wanted to do prescribed burns. It could be just a coincidence, Upper Applegate, out at Salt Creek. In fact, there's a lot of money behind the Salt Creek project. We'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. And you start wondering if a lot of these collaborative projects, these consensus projects, you get 50 Greens in the room and they have a consensus. We all agree that it needs to burn to restore the landscape. Like Native American gentle people, because Native American gentle people always burn down their hunting grounds. Said no Native American ever. Even the Native Americans would say, what, you crazy? Burn it up? No, we would clear some ground or something like that. But no, we didn't want 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 acre fires. That was not conducive to keeping the wife happy back in the teepee. That would not have worked out really well. So anyway, we'll talk with that about it. It's kind of interesting when you go down the sheer number of projects and the vast amount of gangrene government grease that's slithering into the collaboratives and the consensus-based projects that are supposedly working at cross-purposes of county government. We'll dig into that here in about 20 minutes. I think you'll find it an interesting conversation. Second Jackson County death from the heat. Supposedly, that's under investigation. Sheriff's office said yesterday, medical examiner is looking into a second death, possible relationship with heat. They're going to have to do an autopsy. There could also be some prior medical conditions. Hard to say, but yeah. When you're talking 110, 111, that's really hot. You can't get away from that. Meanwhile, Pacific Power, again, proposing a 16.9% rate increase. So I don't know if they get their 16.9% rate increase on top of the 13% or so that they got at the beginning of the year, and then you can't afford to turn on the air conditioner and you die of heat, will you be counted as a heat death? Or do you only get counted as a heat death if you're homeless? I don't know. That could be. Speaking of the homeless, Grants Pass last night, a listening session. I hate that bureaucratic term. We're going to have a listening session. Yeah, we're going to go from town to town, and this is normally what you'll hear from the Wydens and the Merkleys of the world. We're going to go town to town and listen to the people, which means, you know, usually listening to Democratic operatives, you know, going from town to town in the state of Oregon. But, you know, City of Grants Pass, honestly, wanted to take the temperature of the folks who are probably pretty hot and bothered about all their parks mostly being turned over to bumdom, especially once when the Supreme Court the other week said you don't have to do this. And yet the state of Oregon says that, well, yeah, you still kind of have to do this. So people kind of angry here. I'm looking at KOBI 5 was there last night and their coverage of it. Some of the people, let's see, folks invited to take a poll asking which parks are more acceptable for campsites and which parks should camping be considered illegal. And based on that poll, residents voted that Baker and Tussing parks were more acceptable for the campsites. Whereas campsites should be made illegal at Reinhardt and Riverside, some residents said during public comment the homeless population shouldn't be in any parks. One quote from a resident, the citizens of Grants Pass deserve a homeless-free zone. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat, and I'm sick of the coddling of the homeless population. This from one resident. Another one, we've been forced to live with this horrible, indecent way of life, and yet we are the taxpaying citizens that keep this town going. Give us our town back and get these people corralled into an area where they are away from the kids, the elders, and the families. Meanwhile, Mayor Bristol and City Manager Aaron Kubik say that while it's possible to ban camping from the parks, that would create a new issue. Kubik refers to it as a state-created danger. We don't have a shelter or other established places for them to go. Yes, you do, Aaron. It's called the Gospel Rescue Mission. But once again, I guess because there's a rule that, you know, we don't want people shooting up inside the Gospel Rescue Mission or drinking themselves into oblivion. That doesn't count as shelter. Knock that stuff off. Come on, Aaron. And he could possibly be the new city manager? Is that the one? It could be. Okay. But anyway, if we make a rule that bans, you know, basically all the parks, we have to have other places that might be sidewalks or parking lots, Mayor Bristol said. Okay, then, all right, we'll have some designated homeless sidewalks. This idea, though, that people are having to pay in the city of Grants Pass, and other cities, too, for that matter. I mean, in Medford, we're paying parks fees, too. I don't think we have quite the attractive nuisances in the parks as much as we do the Greenway. The Greenway is the main attractive nuisance in Jackson County. You know, in Medford. Grants Pass, though, you have the parks that are festooned around all the riverbank, and it's a very nice place to live. Hey, you know, if you're going to sit around and shoot up and be irresponsible, would you rather do it next to a river, or would you rather do it in some hot, dry, dusty greenway? You know, that kind of thing. So that's part of what Grants Pass deals with, okay? But anyway, Yeah, why not? Why not have some designated homelessness sidewalks? There we are. Here you are. Here's enough. Make sure that there's enough for the designated homeless. And if they may not like it, maybe it will spur some to perhaps go over to the Gospel Rescue Mission, get clean, and get productive again. That's what I would hope. But I get tired, though, of city officials that come out there and go, well, we don't have, in other words, we don't have a shelter. It means that we don't have a taxpayer-funded shelter that has absolutely no rules. That's really what they mean. This is the Bill Meyer Show, and you're on KMED and 99.3 KBXG. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
Should you trust your drinking water on a do-it-yourself water test? I don't think so. At the Grants Pass Water Lab, we get a lot of calls about this. The kits are cheap, and yeah, they look easy, but the results can be confusing and still require a lab follow-up. Save your money and go straight to the water lab. Our equipment is much better at detection, and our staff sure beats a hard-to-read instruction packet. Find us online at thewaterlab.com or gpwaterlab.com.
Patriot Electric is bringing power to the people this summer with their Generac Generator giveaway. Go to KMED.com and enter to win a GP6500-watt Generac portable generator from Patriot Electric, your local Generac generator dealer that installs a full line of generators to keep your property powered up during outages. Visit KMED.com for details and enter to win now through July 23rd. Patriot Electric is your authorized Generac dealer for energy independence. Power to the people by Patriot.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
Hi, I'm Amber Rose with Siskiyou Pump Service, and I'm on KMED.
23 after 6 on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Join the conversation at 770-5633. Oh, by the way, I had all sorts of people writing me this week saying, Bill, you have to be talking about this SAVE Act, and this is the one that would require proof of citizenship for voting in federal elections. And I wrote back to some folks that said, no, you don't understand. There's no need to get in touch with Cliff Bentz and tell him to vote yes for it because he's a Republican. This was put up by the Republicans, and they all voted for it yesterday. And this is a bill which is about kind of putting down a marker for the elections because there's absolutely no chance of it passing. The problem that you run into is a Senate controlled by people like Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley. Democrats control the Senate, and President Joe Tato, says that he will veto it. So, obviously, Democrats are looking for illegal aliens to vote. Other people saying, Bill, how can we stop that? I don't know. Maybe another second American Revolution might be in order. I don't know. I think, what would the founders be doing at this point in time? And saying, oh, we're going to have foreigners choose our elected officials. Oh, and you're sitting back watching television. Splendid. Anyway, let me talk with Ed. Ed, you wanted to talk about the homeless situation. They had a big listening session in Grants Pass at the city council chambers last night. What are you thinking?
Oh, I wasn't at the session last night. But no, I was just thinking about the idea that we as taxpayers pay for our police and fire departments and all of this stuff. But yet the police and fire department is constantly in the homeless camps. Look at the fire in Lapine. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there state money coming to the homeless that could be tagged and it? Every time the police show up to the homeless, charge that against that account. It's just a thought.
I don't know if there is actually attachable income streams there. It's an interesting way of looking at that, though, Ed. That's kind of a different way of looking at it. many homeless, I would imagine, are on disability SSI, and there may be Oregon Health Plan and such. You know, a lot of the homeless services slither out of the cloaca, in other words, the bird butt of the Oregon Health Authority. You know, Oregon Health Authority ends up tossing out a lot of grant stream funding, but even then, I don't know if they give as much income to the homeless as they do income to the people who run the homeless nonprofit rackets, you know, the people that service the homeless communities, that kind of thing. So,
okay,
yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Maybe talk to Dwayne Junker and other people kind of know more of the legislative operations of those kind of things. All right. But I'll try to find out. That's interesting.
Yeah, I just look at, you know, all the time that they service, and, you know, it's taxpayers like you and I that don't get the service of the police department during those times.
Yeah, so. And you don't get the use of the parks that you're also being tagged every month to support on your street
exactly.
and utility and parks
exactly.
fees. Yeah. All right, thank you, Ed. Appreciate the call. 770-5633. Let me go to the next one. Hello, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. And who might you be? Hello?
Hello, am I on, Bill?
You are on. Who's this?
Hey, Bill, there's a facility already in Grants Pass for the homeless, but it's sitting completely empty. It's right next to the Youth Correctional. And they built this facility saying that it was a high school facility for the youth. But it sits there empty right next to Youth Correctional. It's got a building on it, or it's got a big yard completely surrounded with a barbed wire fence. But, I mean, it's there, and it's empty.
Huh.
I don't know why we're not using that for the homeless. I don't know why that facility was even built, but it's there waiting.
Yeah, I remember vaguely that that project, that building that you're talking about, and maybe I'll talk to Richard Emmons about it. I forget off the top of my head what that was for originally, but I remember that now. Did you bring this up?
It's right there. It's completely empty. It's right next to Youth Correctional. It's not in a residential area, and it's just sitting there completely empty. Some taxpayers paid for that. So there it sits empty, and it's a facility apparently with a kitchen and everything in it. So why are the homeless there?
Yeah. Well, even for the city of Grants Pass to do something like that, they would have to set up staff. There would have to be a budget for it, and, of course, there would have to be well, the budget, of course, is a big part because hiring more people would be a tough deal. I don't know if they could do volunteers on that. What do you think?
How much are they spending right now on this homeless deal?
Well, point well taken. Point well taken. Hey, appreciate the call. Thank you. 770-5633-770-KMED here. By the way, we are live in Grants Pass, 99.3 KBXG, 105.9 for all of KMED's talk programming. If you can hear that in the city of Grants Pass, just to keep it all out there. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
This is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Good. I'm just calling to correct the last person that said that the facility next to the youth prison is not occupied. It's actually the high school, and it's been used ever since it was built.
Oh, it has been used? It's not empty?
It's Newbridge High School. It's the high school for all the kids that are locked up.
Okay. All right. So it's kids in juvenile detention, in other words. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so take that out of consideration then, right?
Yeah, I would think so, yes.
Yeah. And now, what is your overall take on that? Did you go to that listening session last night at the council or not?
Time stomaching, and I don't go to any of that stuff because I just get upset because no one ever seems to talk about doing anything. Good solutions.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I would imagine, though, that there is just a rising sense of outrage that, in fact, if I recall correctly, I was told from a source that the county, or not the county council, but the attorneys for the city of Grants Pass wanted to give four parks back to the citizens. When there's more than two dozen parks, and we'll give you four of them back, right? And I'm thinking,
yep.
Oh man, you wanna really tease some people off. Keep going in that direction, right? In other words, that the homeless who pay nothing are more deserving of using all the parks than the people who actually have to pay for them each month. And yeah, the only thing you can do at this point, folks, in Grants Pass and any other city that's dealing with this, you just have to. You have to rise up and let them have it. That's all you can do. It's a political question at this point in time. 630, 99.3 KPXG, Grants Pass. And, of course, 106.3 KMED, Jackson County. Appreciate you waking up here. We're going to shift gears here a little bit after the rest of the news. Also, town hall update. And Mr. X will join me. And do we have a bunch of collaboratives that are always wanting to burn the landscape? Are they bypassing county government with their let it burn sort of projects? And are we witnessing this right now? Kind of some interesting coincidences of places that they wanted to work these burning projects on. They wanted to do prescribed burns, and then they magically caught on fire. It's a conspiracy theory Thursday topic for sure. Next.
When you call Fontana Roofing, our singular focus is a focus. You have questions, we have answers.
Hello, you've reached Fontana Roofing. How may I help you? Yes, we install a plethora of roofs, traditional, composite, metal, tile, shake, you name it. All types of buildings, whether it's a re-roof or new construction. Yeah, we can fabricate and install custom gutters and install gutter covers. Absolutely. If you have buildings that require metal siding and flashing, we do that too. Decks? No, that's not in our wheelhouse. Concrete? No, that's beyond our scope. Fencing? No, we just stick with what we're good at. Sales department? No, we don't have one. But we do have an owner who provides all of our competitive, meticulous quotes. Yes, I'll have him call you right away. Your name and number?
At Fontana Roofing, we don't do everything, but what we do well. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Jackson County Sheriff's detectives are investigating burglaries of pot farms and storage facilities in Jackson and Josephine counties. The suspects are targeting licensed pot farms at night and are possibly armed. Owners and workers of those facilities need to check for any unusual activity and also examine perimeter fences and cameras to make sure they're optional. The Salt Creek fire near Eagle Point was mapped last night at 3,891 acres. It's 16% contained. Firefighters started some preliminary mop-up on the fire's northern perimeter. The heat wave is being possibly blamed for two deaths in Jackson County. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office says its medical examiner is investigating a second death for any possible relationship with heat as its cause. It follows a case discovered over the weekend. Temperatures, by the way, are still expected to reach triple digits at least through Sunday. I'm Bill London, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Consumer prices declined 0.1% from May to June. The bottom line of the government's consumer price index out this morning. Compared to a year ago, prices were up 3% last month. Now, nine House Democrats, as well as one Democrat in the Senate, are calling on President Biden to abandon the White House race. Nagging questions persist about Mr. Biden's mental health. Later today, the president holds a rare news conference at which he will reportedly field unscripted questions from members of the news media. An updated political forecast gives the GOP a 65% chance of holding its majority in the House while winning control of the Senate. 198 House Democrats oppose requiring Americans to show proof of their citizenship before casting votes in federal elections. This is SRN News.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your health care costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-SHARE-55. That's 833-SHARE-55. 833-SHARE-55.
Well, you know it's Orlist, Tobin's Foz, we both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why, you ought to stop and see our friend.
Hey, Lamont here. It's time to spring into summer with a new splash-around pool from Orleys. Don't get caught high and dry this summer. Come into Orleys now and purchase your new pool before they are all gone. Splash-around pools are easy to assemble on most any level surface, and they can be assembled in about an hour with no tools required. Whether it's a spa, swim spa, or above-ground pool, Orleys Stoves and Spas has something for everyone. Come in to ask us about our Orleys easy financing programs. And for those of you considering a wood or pellet stove for next season, come in to ask us about our current 30% tax credit on qualifying wood stoves, pellet stoves, and installation. Orleys Stoves and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway. Or find us online at Orleys.com or at 541-779-5340.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Small business optimism increased for a third straight month in June to the highest level this year. The National Federation of Independent Business Sentiment Index advanced 1 point to 91.5 last month. However, the overall sentiment index remains well below pre-pandemic levels as firms contend with high prices, interest rates, and labor costs, as well as lingering hiring challenges. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said he believes inflation is receding, but isn't yet confident that price gains are sustainably slowing to the central bank's 2% goal. The Fed chair has avoided saying when the agency will cut interest rates, though he has emphasized policymakers face risks from both moving too quickly or too slowly. The Fed has held its policy rate in the range of 5.25% to 5.5%, a more than a two-decade high for nearly a year. Futures are slightly higher just before the bell. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 429. That's Your Money Now.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again, at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ROCK to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ROCK to 42424. That's ROCK to...
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET.
This being Conspiracy Theory Thursday, I thought we would talk about some evidence of conspiracy that is going on here, and it has to do with the federal forest policy on the public lands. And just it's just really interesting that there were federal burn plans on the land, which is, oddly enough, burning right now. You look at Salt Creek, we think the Upper Applegate, various other things like that. And I kind of wanted to circle back around with this with our community researcher, friend of the show, Mr. X, who I think has had to get new glasses because you're just doing nothing but reading government documents all the time, Ed. How do you manage to function
well,
other than this?
That's what, you know, Bill, it's an amazing thing when you sit back and you actually take this stuff apart. And I found that I had to do it just simply to get myself educated into what we were fighting and how. And that's the thing that you people have to get a grip on and go in and start fighting this, fighting back on this with educating yourself.
So what are we fighting? If you could just, for those that may not be as familiar with what you and I have been talking about with, what, 15 years now, I think, you know, roughly
right.
Speaking. If you could kind of start that process, kind of just where we find ourselves here in Southwest Oregon as the attacks keep coming at us to try to make sure that we can't live here ultimately as part of sustainable development. And it's open. It's out in the open.
That's the statement that people have to focus on. Do you want to continue to live here? And do these people have the right to poison us out of here with the air quality? And, you know, I got up the other day, yes, I think it was yesterday or the day before, it was so bad that I couldn't believe it. And, but as we look at it, do they have the right to do this under whatever guidelines that they're speaking to and whatever they're saying? But in my point is, what is the publicly exposed mechanism for doing so? See, they're telling us they're doing it. Their stakeholders have come up with this plan. And believe it or not, this plan has been in the works since 2012, from what I can see. Now, when you follow it and you break it down, it's so extensive to try to go into. So I'm
We'll have to try to simplify it for talk radio purposes. But when you say, if first off, if you don't mind, could you even give us an example of who the they are?
Well, it's what the stakeholders and who the they are. It's best just right now. I'm going to go to the Rogue Forest Partners website. Okay, I sent this to you earlier, and I sent it specifically because it says the Salt Creek Project Area. Okay. The Salt Creek Project Area lies within the Big Butte watershed of Eagle Point and Northeast Medford, Oregon. The project boundaries include federally managed and private lands identified for strategic application of ecological thinning, risk reduction treatments, and potentially underburning. Now, risk reduction treatments include prescribed fire. Okay? This is the whole key. Now, when they have opportunity, when you have to go into the other areas to understand the federal strategic plans, I'll talk about opportunity. Well, the most that I can find is that this fire was human caused. Everything that I see so far, I don't know if that's the official ending point, but everything that I see is they say it was human caused. Now, let's look at it and say how, when, where, and why was it human caused. Now, I read you the thing before we went on about how the fire was discovered. It went from 2 acres to 10 acres to 200 acres, you know, very quickly. So however you want to look at it, my point is there's the website that I'm on right now calls it the Salt Creek Project Area. Okay, now I'm going to go in here and look at it and just touch on a couple of things. Increasing the scale of restoration. Beginning in 2012, the Bureau of Land Management conducted ecological restoration treatments with selective thinning and prescribed fire to 633 acres of BLM-managed land. Okay, so that was back in 2012. Through their alliance with the Rogue Forest Partners and supported by the objectives outlined in the Rogue Forest Restoration Initiative, okay, now there's one for you, the RFRI, the Rogue Forest Restoration Initiative. The updated forest management plan for Salt Creek will treat an additional 450 acres of BLM lands and 250 acres of private lands between 2023 and 2025.
Oh, okay, so we're in that period right now, in 2024, okay, right in the middle of this. And by the way, what is the Rogue Basin Collaborative Restoration Project? I mean, you know, who is that? Who is that? You know, is it actually a gangrene group that just decides to?
Sure. And it uses our old friend, the consensus model, for everything. Now, I personally look at this as one area of life that I'm very strong. You and I have had many discussions about it, but I feel strongly that the voting public, the body politic that chose to live here, that chose to pay property taxes, that chose to raise families, that chose to be employed, that chose every aspect of it to keep civil society moving in a good direction, we get attacked by these consensus models, okay? And the reality is we are the largest stakeholder that there is, but they don't begin to address in a public format our opinion because it's a predetermined outcome.
The predetermined outcome is to let the land burn, right?
That's because we have to put more fire on the landscape. The indigenous people used to burn for management. That is the, you know, one of the biggest crocks I have ever heard. How does an indigenous culture that's reliant upon the local landscape to provide food, shelter, clothing, water, every aspect of it, burn the area that they're in.
Okay, since we have,
be
all right,
they
all right,
have to move.
All right, so essentially what we are enduring here with the gangrene in cooperation with the Biden-Harris administration, we'll talk about that here in just a minute, because that Rogue Basin Collaborative Forest Restoration Project got $3 million in money to accomplish this.
That's right.
This was a couple of years ago that ended up happening. And so we have this is a kind of a dances with wolves forest policy that we're dealing with in Southern Oregon, right?
I'm trying in a roundabout way, because it has to be a roundabout way to answer the question, Yak, who's involved?
Yeah.
Well, the first one that I come up here, you say it says the Bureau of Land Management conducted, you know, I read that one already, but that's the truth. So start off, let's go with the Bureau of Land Management. Now we go to the next one, restoring nearby oak habitat. Now we have the Klamath Siskiyou Oak Network, the KSON, coordinated by our partners at Klamath Bird Observatory, KBO. Received a large grant from the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board's Focused Investment Partnership. So now we, guided by the Klamath Siskiyou Oak Network Strategic Conservation Action Plan, the Little Butte Oak Initiative will reduce the two highest-ranked threats to oak prairie habitat, wildfire and encroaching conifer trees. Stabilizing these habitats will also help to create resilience to climate change, insects, and disease. Mm. So now you look at it, they're going to use wildfire, what they call wildfire, to battle wildfire. Okay, that's their premise. Fine. But as one of the stakeholders, the actual stakeholders, somebody who invested here, somebody who wants to have clean air to breathe, I don't necessarily agree with their predetermined outcome, because it's based upon false premises, as I see it, and I, you know, logically put it together.
Now, let me ask you.
We look at.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to. Boy, here, and yet at this point, we're looking at 3,400 acre fire right now. Greg Roberts doesn't think it's nearly as big as it is. But you talked about that it started off as a, because I want to go back to what you mentioned right in the beginning here, Mr. X. You said that opportunity, the whole idea of the gangrene and the collaborative plans is that they take advantage of the opportunity. So we had a human-generated fire on Salt Creek, let's say, right? In that Salt Creek region. We don't know if it was arson, it was just accident, stuff happens, okay? And then under the federal Let It Burn policy, right, the 1995 Forest Management Plan, isn't that right? That's still in effect.
That's where it goes back to, Bill. Yes.
Yeah. Any kind of opportunity like that is then leveraged to let it burn, to let these lands burn for land management purposes. At the same time, though, Jackson County has an ordinance that says you do not do prescribed burns for land management in the summertime during fire season, right? That's what we have.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's actually not an ordinance, I believe. It's a
declaration
a
or
position
whatever.
Stance. It's a declaration position stance. But that position stance takes them within the protection of federal CFRs, codified federal regulation, because they have the ultimate authority. And right now, I want to try to inform the people that are running this thing, you are breaking federal law. That's reality.
Pretty big claim,
because
Ed.
Jackson County government has that position.
So are you claiming then, or do you believe that that the way, let's say, Salt Creek Fire was fought even from the beginning was enough to make sure that the land management purposes of burning the land, which there was a burn plan on this, there's $3 million in funding to do burning on this land. And then magically, you know, it starts. And I know they also asked for permission to do a prescribed burn within this land.
That was further up the river where they initially. Land Conservancy, but the reality is they asked for a burn permit after the beginning of fire season. Now it's pretty interesting, Bill, that they all consider themselves above common sense, lawful ways of doing this stuff. They came in after the beginning of fire season and asked for a burn permit to do a prescribed burn. Well, why are they above the law? No one else here is lawfully allowed to have a fire after the beginning of fire season. Why would they be allowed so? And why are these people allowing this to burn in that way, or why is it considered? Why do people have to get involved?
Well, I'd like to know why there wasn't just a big tanker drop on something when it was 5 to 200 acres, and all of a sudden we're magically at 3,000. I'm not a firefighter, maybe I don't understand how this works, Ed. Maybe I don't.
Well, the fire accelerates quickly, Bill.
Okay.
But bureaucrats tend to do things that they don't understand. Now, we've got some new people around here. For 5 straight years, we had a relatively smoke-free summer, and we burnt very little land. But what I'm looking at is what I read to you. It was, this is scheduled for completion. We'll treat an additional fort of private lands between 2023 and 2025.
Now, is this current Salt Creek fire, which they estimate has a couple of weeks to go, they're able to estimate that. Does this complete that project? I'm just curious, Ed.
That's what I'm looking at. Now, I don't know if they're exactly within the mapping that I'm looking at for the plans of this, because you don't know. They don't know. Nobody knows. This stuff burns, and it burns. But I got to go back to one thing. You ask a question, who's involved, okay?
Right.
And I got to the last one was the Klamath Siskiyou Oak Network and the Klamath Bird Observatory, and they received a large grant from Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. So they want to enhance the water by burning the forest, okay, the Salt Creek area. So now we go to the Rogue River Watershed Council with numerous private landowners along Salt Creek. Efforts included replacing 7 Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife priority fish passage barriers with fish passage-friendly water diversion intakes, blah, 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 strategic locations. Now, so we have another group, the Rogue River Watershed Council. Now, Rogue Forest Partners has identified 6 projects along the Rogue Basin, across the Rogue Basin. These high priority areas, now I'm reading directly what they wrote, Bill. These high priority areas, spanning public and private tracts, are critically important for reducing the risk of extreme wildfires. Well, if we burn it first and we remove the fuel base, are we reducing the risk of extreme wildfires? Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I suppose until the grass grows back next year. But then we're also destroying our tourism and our health in the summertime.
There you go. Now, see, you take it to where I look at it. I look at it as we have the right to live here in peace and harmony without this. But I'm going to go back to what I was reading. RFP, Rogue Forest Partners, has identified 6 projects across the Rogue Basin. These high-priority areas spanning public lands and private tracts are critically important for reducing the risk of extreme wildfires, promoting climate adaption, and restoring resilience to our landscape. Well, any fire without prior thinning, okay, is going to destroy the landscape for just generations. I've read too many of these reports. But let's go to the 6 projects. The top one listed here is the upper Applegate watershed. Gee, do you think that one's burning?
Oh, what a coincidence. What a coincidence. We're not talking arson or anything, but what a coincidence that it happens to be burning right now.
Well,
all right.
It's magically coincidental, Bill. Oh, it's just magically coincidental.
Uh-huh.
Now we go down to the West Bear Project, the Williams Project, the Stella Project, the Briggs Project, and then we get to the last listed here, the Salt Creek Project. And I look at this, and it just absolutely frosts me. Because did they make a public statement 2 months before this was get ready, we're going to burn this project? But I bet you they communicated things amongst themselves. And I look at this and it just absolutely astounds me. We are the largest stakeholder group that there is. And
we may be the largest stakeholder group, but we're the largest stakeholder group that's never invited into this consensus process where they come up with all of this federal funding. And you see what I'm getting at? You know, the federal funding.
And what I'm trying to get at is our power as that body politic, that we need to start making demands that they honor the law, the federal law, the federal CFRs that led to the county being able to take the position that they did to protect us from this, which is that there shall be no prescription burning after the beginning of the state fire marshal declared fire season, no matter the source of ignition. Now,
that's right. They did say the county declaration was no matter the source of ignition, which would mean human caused or whether it's a lawnmower striking a rock, whatever. Right. You can't use it then. You can then use it to slow walk fire, firefighting. Is that kind of what we're suspecting might be going on in some cases?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Every aspect of this bill turns us to a point for our own livability, for our own ability to survive this. We have to start educating ourselves to fight these people. That's how I started fighting it years ago, is just educate. Know your enemy. Know what they're doing, because they are not friendly. They don't want you to live here. Their primary purpose of this in the law and everything that they're doing with all the fire mapping things that, you know, they were having the town halls on, and it's to burn across boundaries. And that means public land, private land. They want you to evacuate so they can burn.
And they want you, as I know that Senator Widener Merkley, remember, they wanted smoke shelters installed. You know, they want smoke shelters in the cities instead of going after the root cause of what we're suffering under or enduring. Right.
Now I'm going to take you to the background. Here's a USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture press release, okay? Biden-Harris administration, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Forest Service, invest more than $31 million in 15 landscape restoration projects. And when you go in here and you go down to the bottom of it, Oregon, and $3 million went to the Rogue Basin Landscape Restoration Project across 4.6 million acres. The proposed work will accelerate urgently needed restoration treatments to meet the long-term collaboratively developed strategic goals of wildfire risk reduction.
Okay, so let me just ask a quick question here in our final minute, all right? Because I'm going to put links to all these things you're talking about, all right? I'll put it up on the blog today. So people can take a look at it and realize you're not blowing smoke, no pun intended, you know, that it's out there in the open. When they talk about restoration, they mean burning land, right? They never say that, though, in the open, do they? Right? They mean burning.
That's exactly right. That's part of their thing, because we haven't put fire on the landscape. Us, you know, as a group, the settlement of the people coming west, literally the culmination of every part of history that we had no ability to control. History was here and on its way when I was born, and when you were born, when we were all born. The country was considered settled long ago. And now they want to rewild it. They want to do this. They want to do that. They want to move you for the aspect of sustainability.
Yeah, and we don't live in the rural lands, and we're all forced into a city, into your 15-minute climate-friendly, equitable community, that sort of thing. Well, they've been quite open about this, they being the Greens and the stakeholders within that tend to hold such great sway with the management. Now, let me ask you a quick question. Because for 5 years, we were doing pretty well in Southern Oregon, in Jackson County specifically here, given what the county government did. And the county government did a good thing, all right, when they came out there and said, hey, no, we're not going to be letting you just do prescribed burns. But then we end up having prescribed burns unofficially. You know, that's what we're experiencing in some ways right now. Is the departure of Merv George higher up or to a different part of the Forest Service, is that contributing to maybe what we're dealing with right now? I don't know if you even know.
I believe so, because I've heard that there may have been some changes in personnel at the BLM too. So that's what I'm trying to say.
Because Merv was down with the county of trying to keep the smoke out of here for tourism, for health, for everything else, right? He was down with that program. He really was.
Actually, the way that I would state it, Bill, is slightly different. Merv George understood that the federal mandate by federal codified regulation was that the county had the ultimate authority. Now what you've got is a bunch of these groups, and when you look at this and you trace the history and you study it, like the other day I started sending you this stuff. You saw the volume of information. You have to read 100-page documents. They've had meetings. They had things. Oh, the Southern Oregon Forest Restoration Collaborative. Okay. Now you get down to look at it, and there might be 100 people just affecting and ruining the lives of 250,000, 300,000. I think that one of the statistics I looked at, there's 300,000 people within the area of this. And you look at it, and this is ridiculous. I don't believe, I've seen people be taken, okay, from our friend Bill Simpson, okay, his wife was taken by wildfire smoke. I mean, and I look at this, every aspect. My wife was severely ill for 2 years from this. This is why I started fighting it. But I look at the whole thing. I am not going to let these people in a collaborative way, because I remember what the term collaborative means. Okay, a collaborator. A collaborator was the person who worked with the enemy to undermine the structure of your local safeguards of government. They allowed an intruder to come in and take over. So I look at that with that slant, because that's what 10 years before I was born was going on in the world. So I look at all of these things and I say, to protect ourselves, we have to consider history, because history repeats itself.
Now, let me ask, Ed, the mechanism really is through county government ultimately, isn't it?
Well, it's supposed to be. These people are circumventing the county government because the state of Oregon, okay?
Well, the state of Oregon wants to burn.
The state of Oregon supports this. OWEB, they're getting money from OWEB. Now, OWEB got their money from where? The lottery. And the lottery was supposed to support schools. But now they're investing heavily, and the members, you know, and I eventually your question gets answered. You said, who's involved in it? Okay, and I'm going to read this off. Our members, this is the Rogue Basin Partnership, and this is what's on their website. The Applegate Partnership. Now, magically, think about that one. The Applegate Partnership and Watershed Council. The City of Ashland. Okay, now why is the City of Ashland affecting what we're doing over at Salt Creek?
Because they have a religious fervor to burn the land, too. As long as it doesn't burn them, I guess. I don't know.
The Beaver Coalition. I don't know who they are. That I haven't processed them. But now we have the Cow Creek Band, Umpqua Tribe of Indians, Natural Resources Program, works to protect and enhance tribal lands. Okay, they're involved. Illinois Valley Soil and Water Conservation District, Illinois Valley Watershed Council, Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District, and then we get to the wonderful Ashland group of the Lamakotsky Restoration Project. Now, you got to remember that they split off, okay, when I read this, they split off a for-profit division, but as they define it here, they say the Lamakotsky Restoration Project is a nonprofit grassroots organization that develops and implements forest and watershed restoration projects in Oregon and Northern California. They work to restore ecosystems and the sustainability of communities, cultures, and economies. But now remember, they split off a for-profit division
in which they do prescribe burns. Yeah, they're professional arsonists. They do that for a living for the for-profit side.
The original the original stance is you don't take money out of the forest. That's the thing that came out of California. Well, and it's taught at the university. Oh, you can't take money out of the forest. That leads to
law. Oh, you sure can if you're a nonprofit when it comes to prescribed burning world. You know that.
When it comes to prescribed burning, of burning that resource. Now we go to the Lower Rogue Watershed Council. We have the Medford Water Commission operates and maintains the water system. So they've cultivated some partners in this, okay?
So there is in other words, there is a real a real thick bureaucracy of burn the land with a lot of different people involved in this, aren't there, from the sounds of it?
You have the native, then you go to the Native Fish Society, then you go to Rogue Riverkeeper. Then we go to the Rogue River Watershed Council, the Rogue Valley Council of Governments, and then we get to the other one that's just so important to have involved in this is SOCAN, okay, Southern Oregon Climate Action Now.
Oh, Alan Jernay's group. Yeah, okay, the Climate Action Now. So wait a minute. So these people are involved in wanting to burn the landscape too, which would seem to go against the purposes of Southern Oregon Climate Action Now, because Climate Action Now is there's not supposed to be any carbon put in the air, Ed, because it's the carbon dioxide that's killing us. So what's the purpose of burning this land?
Well, that's the thing. That's where I go, Bill. It defies common sense on any level, any type of realistic common sense interpretation. Now we get to the last one listed as a true partner is SOFRC, Southern Oregon Forest Restoration Collaborative, works directly with community partners and federal land managers who oversee two-thirds of Southwest Oregon lands to find common ground and help create sound, science-based federal forest plans. Now, that's the best available science because they do it by all consensus-based things. So as long as the science says we have to burn it, they'll burn it because that's the only groups that are invited to participate.
Are people who wish to burn the land. Okay, how can we get invited to these groups?
Well, this is the thing. These groups are standing there in place of us, and they're taking a stance trying to put their input into it, and they're all taking probably money for this, too, through grants.
All right. Hey, Ed, hold on here just a little bit. I want to wrap things up in just a minute or two with you, but we'll be right back. I'm talking with Mr. X, and we're going down to the, I guess it's the burn the landscape industry, and it seems to reach into practically every corner of our lives and especially of the non-governmental organizations and a lot of our governmental services, too. This is the Bill Myers Show.